Yo, what is up, my people? People of the Learning, Love, and Wisdom podcast by your host, with the most, Mitch Ping. Okay, it's been a while, hasn't it? Thank you for tuning in. I'm just testing this new thing out where I'm using this app called Otter, and it's fucking incredible. You can talk into it and it transcribes, so you can literally look, like right now I'm looking at my phone talking and I can see the words that are coming up. And it's great for me because I go off in fucking La La Land and I'll just scroll up and be like, oh, okay, that's what I was talking about. And I was putting all these expectations on me, like, oh, if I'm going to do a podcast, then I need to set up my computer and have a perfect camera and the perfect audio quality and the perfect background. And I don't want anyone else to be home. And I've got to make sure I'm going to be super inspired and stay on top. Oh, my God. Shut up. Oh, that whiny little bitch. Little Mitch. So right now, well, for the next week, I have been given this fucking incredible opportunity to stay at my mum's house, my mum and my stepdad's house. They're off in Darwin and they've asked me to come and house it. Now, before I, kind of funny, I used to like not really be into dogs. I don't know, like they were stinky, they just reminded me of myself. So I didn't like dogs. I was denying. I was suppressing who I was. But now I've realized, once I learnt a few little, like, really cool tools and tips and tricks and mindset hacks, which I'm 100% going to share on this podcast. I'm not going to hold anything back. Fuck it. I'm staying, let me scroll up and read what, oh yeah, I was talking about dogs, okay. You see, I've already done it, and we're like 1 minute in. So, I never used to want to come here because I didn't like the dogs, and then I realized we have a Labrador at home because I live with my dad and my brothers, and we have this Labrador retriever who drops like tons of hair. He's fucking stinky, he's noisy, he snores, he slobbers, and I love him. Like, before, the only thing I saw was he was stinky and hairy and slobby, and I didn't want to be near him, I didn't want to touch him, I didn't want to walk him, now I'm like brushing him, I'm taking him down to the beach. You know, there was 1 week where I took him down to the beach like fucking 5 times in 1 week, and I just love seeing his happy face, and I would do like, hey, Kobe. And he'll come and, like, kiss me on the face. And I'm like, oh, gross. Dogs eat poo. I don't want them to lick me on the face. But now I'm like, oh, it's only poo that you've been licking. Oh, cool. Yeah, give me a big sloppy kiss, Kobe. So, yeah, I don't know. Oh, and my girlfriend just got, like, a puppy. Like, has got a 10-month-old puppy. And I've just, I'm smitten by that dog's energy. Wow. That, like, Jessie. Oh, my. She's a little cavoodle. She's so much energy. So much excitement. She's so fluffy and cuddly. Oh, my. Fuck. I'm like, fuck. I walk past dogs now, and I will stare at the dog. Like, oh, my God. That's, like, not all dogs. Let's be real here. Some dogs are made better than others. That was a joke. In my eyes, at least. In everyone's eyes, you have a breed or certain types of dogs that you're anchored to from your childhood. So I walk past Cavaliers, I walk past Labradors, I walk past Dalmatians. What other dogs do I really, oh, like Groodles, Cavoodles, Labradoodles, man, Poodles. Oh my God, I love dogs. Oh, I want a whole pack of dogs with me. Oh, one of the dogs just farted. Oh, I'm sitting on the bed. The dogs are sitting next to me, and one of them just ripped one. Oh, that's so... But it's so cool Because when you love your dog for being fat and stinky and, like, I had to literally wash the big chunky poo, trigger warning, out of Jessie's, the little Cavoodle's, ass. Like, it was all stuck in her ass hair, and I had to literally, like, massage this stinky diarrhea, like, that was all clumped together on her ass, and she was, like, scratching at me and wincing and trying to get out of the bath, like the sink. It was horrible. Like, it was fuck. It was. I had never been so disgusted in my entire life. You know what I did straight after? I took that motherfucker Jessie down to the beach, and we had the most amazing time. And I fucking love her. She's amazing. And it's. I actually got home yesterday from a bike ride, and I just no undies. You know, fuck it. So comfy. Oh my, if you're a guy and you don't wear, you've never tried leggings with no underwear, man, fucking, you gotta try it. Holy, just make, fuck it. They can be see-through if you like. Go naked. There is a thing to, I mean, you don't want your balls slapping around everywhere and everyone staring at you as you ride past. So I guess that's a bit of a... Imagine if I just went out. I thought of that the other night. My dad had friends over for a party, and his girlfriend. They had a party at the house. And I was like, fuck it. Should I just go downstairs? Because I'm, like, naked in my office. I'm like, should I just go downstairs naked? Because if I'm putting clothes on, then I'm basically subordinating to these. I actually make myself laugh. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Oh. Imagine it. Yeah, if I'm putting on clothes, then I'm subordinating to my dad's friends. Oh, I don't know. Shit like that just really confuses me. And it I guess it comes back to as authentic as you really want to be. It's definitely a journey. So, wow. I just went on a big... Okay, let me scroll up here. And, yes. So, I love dogs. I fucking love dogs now. So, when Mum asked me, hey, do you want to come and house it? I'm like, fucking hell yeah. And do you know... Oh, my God. Do you know what the fucking craziest... Like, this thing... gives me goosebumps. When was it? Like, maybe a month ago. Within a month ago, I was sitting down in my office and I'm like, man, I just want to escape. Like, I want to have freedom. I want to do something. Like, I want to be free. I want to just yell. I want to yell and just be me. Right? I've just fucked up someone's golf shot out there. Their house is on the edge in the back of a golf course. How insane is that? That's crazy. Anyway, so before Mum invited me here, I was thinking in my head, yeah, I'd love to escape. I'd love to be free. Maybe I'd get like an Airbnb. And then I was like, no, be resourceful. How can I escape and be paid to do it? And, I mean, I didn't think of my mum because of COVID. I didn't think we were going to travel. So I was like, okay, yeah, no, I've got like an uncle. He's got a place down in Normanville. Maybe I can go there. And then, I don't know, I kind of forgot about it. I wrote it down in my goals, in my mission. And then, you know, the next week, Mum's like, oh, hey, by the way, I was going to ask you. I don't think you'd be interested. I was, Stephen and I are going to Darwin. I was wondering if you want to maybe house it for a couple. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I'll house it the whole time. Holy shit. And yeah, and that's just, I have no words for that. That's one of those, and I just realized this before, is your brain, are you listening? Your brain works off past perceived evidence. Your brain works off past evidence. So if you've been told your entire life that you're a useless, unworthy, undeserving piece of dog shit, that will never amount to anything in life, what do you think is going to happen? You're in your brain, you're like, oh my God, there's all of these moments and people that have told me I'm a piece of shit and I'm not going to amount to anything. That's what's true. Okay, if you are brought up in a super, super fucking rich family and you don't have any conception of money or normal, I guess, normal laymen or normal people, then you'll go to your friends and be like, oh, okay, we're going to fucking Sweden for the weekend to go skiing. Where are you going to go for the weekend? Where's your holiday house? Or where's your, you know, where does your dad keep your private jet? And then they have no idea because their brain has no evidence in their life displaying a reasonable, you know, normal, average, below average sort of amount of money or that sort of thing. I hope I'm making my point. Is your brain work? I can't fucking say it enough because it's incredible. So if your brain works off past evidence, and we are what our experiences, our emotions, and our memories are, then if we change our past, we can change our future. Because if we have encoded our past to brainwash us, to code us to thinking we're undeserving, we're unworthy, that's what's going to... What do you think's going to happen in the future? Do you think you're just going to magically fucking... You know, unless you're listening to Mitch Ping, it's not going to happen, right? So it's, and Joe Dispenza says that a lot. He has an incredible book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, lots of podcasts and stuff, you know, check him out. Fucking sick dude. And Chase Hughes, someone I also follow, like a super top CIA fucking interrogator guy. Your brain works off past evidence, okay? I mean, I can't really explain that anymore. So change your past, change your memories, and balance the equation. Because when I used to feel like I was my mum would say to me, Mitch, I believe in you, you're amazing, you can do anything, and in my head I was saying, no, I'm not, I'm a piece of shit, I'm undeserving, I'm useless, I'm horrible. So for at least 10 years of my life, you know, most days I would wake up and say those things to me. So there's a whole shitload of past evidence stacked up in my brain of like, oh, hey, when you want to do something, you can't do it because you're not worth anything. So the points that I'm making, are you still with me? Are you still awake? Let's go. Have I fucked off the neighbors yet? Probably. I probably knew they were like, oh, fuck, how long's Mitch going to be here? I've got all the windows open too. Mum was like, okay, make sure, you know, the security here. You know, keep the curtains closed, keep the windows closed, keep the doors locked. As soon as I got home from dropping them at the airport, I went and opened every single window and curtain. Well, not every window. There's a couple windows here. Every curtain, get some light in here. I've got the fucking doors open. Like, the front door doesn't even lock. I definitely shouldn't be telling you that. Mum's listening to this, having a heart attack. Oh, so the point, are you listening? Come back to me. So the point that I was going to make to, if our brain works off past evidence, then if we document and write down all of the times we've set a goal and achieved it, and we have a whole fucking stack of achievements and goals right in front of you, that's tangible, you can look at it, you can feel it, you believe in it. And I was in the shower before, my brain has been going non-fucking-stop since Monday morning. And I had this vision of like, dude, just write down every single time you've ever thought of achieving a goal and fucking do it. I remember one time when I left personal training, and I was like, I did a course, Thrive Time, fucking greatest course, you know, in history. Fucking hell, man. 4 days of absolute transformation. And I quit my job. Like, I went home that night from the seminar course. Oh, my God, one of the dogs has farted again. So I went home from one of the courses, one of the days, I meant, and I was like, fuck it. I know I'm going to quit the job. I know I'm going to quit PT and do something different. Why am I waiting? Let's just do it. And I literally emailed my boss saying I'm handing in my notice. Bear in mind, it was a 3-month. How ridiculous is that? Hey, do you want to quit? Oh, well, it's going to be 3 months. You've got to do something you don't really want to do just so we can drain you from more money. Like, fucking hell, good life. Come at me, bro. So I quit good life and I'm like, right, I'm going to go online. I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to do mindset. I'm going to do health. I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to be driving a Ferrari next year. You know, these were all my goals. And I took the fucking leap of faith. I just believed in myself so much. Michael Mojo helped me to understand that certainty that I fucking had inside of myself. He unlocked it, asked the right questions. I did the work around it. I was surrounded by inspiring people and I was like, fuck it, I can do it. And I didn't have the money. I didn't have the fucking knowledge. All I had was the belief that I was worthy and I could fucking do it. And man, that's so I'm big announcement. Drum roll. I am writing a book that will be published in 1,502 days. It's 214 weeks. I have 92 sections of the book that I'm writing out 2,000 words a week for the next 92 weeks. And it'll be about 180,000 words, you know, 184,000 if you're a mathematical genius. And then I'm going to condense it down into 90,000 words. You know, just edit the fuck out of it, right? And then I'm going to find a publisher. I'm going to book it. In between that, I'm reading 1,000 books. I feel like I'm just blurting out. I want to imagine you're on a first date with someone and you're like, oh, by the way, what do you do? Fucking hell, I can really talk. Anyway, there's just a few of my goals and I'm just so inspired right now and I just want to share and fuck man, you are so, whoever you are listening to this, a bum, a billionaire, a 5-year-old, an 80-year-old, you are so worthy and so capable of a love that is Leibniz, Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz, if that's how you say it. His discourse on metaphysics. Oh my God, I need to get that book. But DeMartini always talks about this line he says in the book, and I'll finish with this, and then you can stop listening to me. He opens one of the introduction with, for those who have seen the divine magnificence, it's, you can't explain it. There is a divine magnificence to the world that only a few people can see. And I've fucking seen it, and I can't believe the amount of goals and visions that are flooding into my head. I honestly have not stopped. Well, I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration. I've cried tears of inspiration, love, gratitude, just pure fucking divine. And it sounds all spiritual, fluffy, whatever. And It's incredible. My entire brain just goes completely silent and this spontaneous tear of gratitude like flows down my cheek. And yeah, I'm just like standing there with my eyes closed, completely calm and present. And I think of this, like, there was one memory that I did. I was doing some mindset work, asking some questions, reflecting. And I went to a moment where, oh yeah, man, this was the big, I want to share this. This was the biggest realization I've ever had in my entire life. It was, I can't believe, like, it's, it, I mean, I'm going to try to explain it. So when I first started, if I reflect back on my life, and, you know, I obviously want to achieve great things in the field of philosophy, and I want to solve humanity's greatest problems, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, okay, well, where's the evidence, right? I was talking about before. Where is the evidence of me being a genius, me being great, me being disciplined, me being focused, me being resilient, adaptable, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, one of the greatest things I ever feel like I did was playing tennis. Like, I was pretty good at tennis. I was pretty, you know, focused and disciplined, and you could count. You didn't have to remind me that, hey, Mitch, go practice your tennis. So I went back to, okay, what was one of the most challenging moments I had in my life? And then this moment came up of me in my first tennis lesson that I had from, like, a proper coach, and it was from Todd Langman. If you're listening to this, Todd, you're a fucking champ. He's actually tennis coaching Tanasi, who won Tanasi Kokkinakis, and Nick Kyrgios just won, like, the gold medal at the Australian Open in doubles the other week. So fucking hell, that's so cool to see this guy that kind of started my whole journey. Anyway, he got behind me in the tennis practice coaching session and was like, no, you're doing it all wrong. You know, you get the forehand and you move your arm like this. Like, he had such a clear vision, and he knew that I was capable of doing it. And he was like, with that certainty, like, fuck it, man. Like, let's go. I'll stand behind you and show you exactly the stroke you need to take to be, you know, a fucking great tennis player. I got in the car after that. I was with a friend. We were doing, like, a dual coaching session. I got in the car afterwards. My friend's mum was driving, and I was sitting in the back seat. My friend was in the front passenger seat, and I started crying. Like, I was really holding back the tears, and I was crying. I was like, wow, I'm so, like, fuck that guy. I'm such an, like, I'm so stupid. I'm so unworthy. Like, all of these horrible things. So I went to that moment, and you go to the exact moment, when, where, who, what's the content, what's the context, make sure it's everything still and frozen, you're present, you're completely in the moment where he was challenging you the most. Where was my support? And I stopped, I was present, and I was like, oh, and tears started flooding down my eyes. I started getting a snotty nose. I couldn't even, like, I was overwhelmed with so much love and gratitude. It's, I can't, like, I'm... It's, yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, that was just incredible. And so the moment I thought of, because you can't have a perception or a memory without an equal and exact opposite, which I can explain later. Anyway, so I was comparing that moment of me being challenged to my mum hugging me and believing in me. And I just remember, like, it's stuck in my head forever that my mum just believed in me so much and loved me so much and, you know, always told me. I never believed it, though, until now. So if you're a mum and you tell your kid, wait, is this still recording? Okay, I think it is. My transcription has stopped. I need to upgrade to Otter Pro. So, and in that moment, I felt so connected to my mum in that exact moment. Like, I did it, and I was like, wow, I feel like my mum's in the room with me right now. Like, I love her so much. I feel her love so much. Wow, like, this is, and this sounds like, you know, airy fairy fucking psycho babble shit. If you told me this, you know, 4 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, that's okay, that's cool. Whoop. Fucking psycho over there. Cool, cool. What's that? What's this person on drugs or something? So, and in that moment, I was like, wow, I need to fucking send thanks to my mum. Like, I need to tell her how much I love her, how much I appreciate her. And I said to her, let me pull up. Mum, I just had one of the most profound moments of gratitude for you. It was in the moment I first had tennis coaching with Todd, and he was challenging the fuck out of me. In the moment he was challenging me, I was thinking of you in my head, thinking about how you truly believe in me so much and how I can do anything. Thank you for always believing in me and telling me I love you. Thanks for always believing in me and telling me. So she would tell me that she believed in me. Wow. So I want to finish with that and just share with you my love and hopefully some wisdom, and be the light that guides your own path, and others will follow you. I'll see you next time with love and wisdom. It's been your boy, Mitch Ping. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, let me know. Hit me up. Send me a message on Facebook or Instagram. And, yeah, stay tuned. See ya.